Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, brought to you by the Desai Group. The Desai Group, getting the real work of innovation done. Visit them on the web at desai.com, D-E-S-A-I.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here's your host, Stone Payton.
Good morning. Welcome to High Velocity Radio. And this is not Stone Payton. This is Stephanie Lloyd. I am lucky enough to be guest hosting for Stone this morning while he is enjoying some vacation time with his family. So good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Stephanie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You're a little frazzled, a little Atlanta traffic this morning.
Just a tad. I don't know. 17 accidents in 2 miles.
I think that's a record.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the rain threw some people off this morning.
Yeah, that'll do it. So who do we have? We have somebody in the studio here I've never met before.
We do. We've got Jason Prance. And Jason is an independent professional who helped found a company called VergePoint here in Atlanta. And the focus of VergePoint is internet marketing for small to medium-sized businesses. So, Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. So, Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself and about VergePoint.
Sure. Well, for the past 10 years or so, I've been involved in starting up, launching, and maintaining many different online businesses, most of them being e-commerce, handling the marketing for those, and dealing with a lot of product-based sales online. And as a trial by fire with a lot of these other products that we've gotten into, I've learned pretty much every possible way to, market yourself online, including, pay-per-click marketing, search engine optimization, affiliate marketing, everything. So, so VergePoint is kind of a really exciting company. It's got an emerging product that's going to really be great for as a stepping stone for small to mid-sized businesses to kind of understand this whole social media thing and this whole search engine optimization thing, because it's really a lot to take on, from the initial get-go.
It is, and obviously that's those are really hot topics these days, both
absolutely.
Social media and search engine optimization, and a lot of people are struggling with how to use them and how to how to excel in those areas. So,
yes.
And in fact, speaking of social media, that is how Jason and I met. We met through Twitter. And
so you two were complete strangers.
We were complete strangers living in the same.
And then, so what happened? How'd you meet on Twitter?
We got connected, I want to say, towards the or beginning of this year, maybe, on Twitter somehow, and I don't even remember.
Did you go to an event together, or you
no.
just
no.
saw each other's name?
No, I started following Stephanie probably a few months ago, kind of like looking for staffing for VergePoint, combination, opportunities for myself, whatever the case may be. And basically, I saw how well-connected she was, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep watching her.
Right.
And so we started talking, and we had lunch last Tuesday.
We did.
And,
but what was the initial, after you started following her, who made the initial, contact? Like, did you DM her? Or
you reached out to me.
I sent a direct message.
About staffing for VergePoint.
Yep.
And that's how we kind of started talking.
Yep.
And then we just sort of stayed in touch over time, and then...
Was that through Twitter? Because I just want to, for the listener who isn't comfortable with this, I want them to kind of understand what the... How it works and what's the time that elapses between, oh, you're interesting, let me follow you for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, let me DM you because I have a need. And then that eventually had to evolve to, at some point, email, then a phone call, and then a meeting.
The first touch point is like, following somebody, right? And, if you're paying attention to the people that are following you, you're going to see, oh, so-and-so is following me. That's kind of interesting. Maybe I'll follow them back. Maybe I won't. And the next point maybe would be sending a mention, it's called, or a reply, an at reply. And the person using Twitter gets to see how that person at replied them when it's mentioned on Twitter. Maybe you just kind of said a public, hello, how you doing? Or, check out this thing I did. Or, maybe make a funny comment, whatever, kind of break the ice. And then the next step usually would be is maybe sending a direct message or, saying thanks for following me or, whatever the case. Is that,
yes.
is that pretty much what you do?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty typical. I mean, I think one of the keys on using Twitter well and successfully is to engage in conversation with people. So, if I see something interesting that someone has sent out, I don't know about you, but I'll either retweet it and I might put a brief comment at the beginning of the message, like excellent article or great insight or something.
Right.
Or I might just reply to them and make a comment. And then that, you know, a lot of times we'll engage in conversation.
And just for anybody that's not familiar with what retweeting is, it's basically like a compliment in the Twitter world.
That's I like what you just said. I'm going to share it with my people.
Right. I'm going to put an R and a T in front of what you said and let other people that are following me see the same message. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think over time, we just kind of went back and forth all strictly on Twitter and finally got to the point. Jason reached out to me a couple of weeks ago about kind of expanding, what he's doing into some new areas. And we just decided we had a lot to talk about, so let's go have lunch. And we did. We had a lot to talk about.
Yeah. I started blabbing about a bunch of stuff, and she's like, "Hey, you want to go on the radio?" I'm like, "Yeah, right." You know? And then she calls me back the next day, and she's like, "Okay, we're on." I'm like, "What?"
Well, so with that said, one of the ideas that you introduced to me that day is what we wanted to talk about today, and that's co-working.
Yes.
So I know I didn't know what this was a week ago. So for the listeners who haven't heard of it or don't know what it is, please enlighten us.
Sure. Co-working is referred to, from my research, as a few different things. Co-working, alternative workspaces, and even Jelly. Basically, over the last 3 years or so, the first article I saw was a Wired magazine article talking about this alternative workspace trend that's picking up and catching steam, and you should be a part of it, that kind of a thing. And now it's a worldwide thing, and especially metropolitan cities and things like that are starting to pop out with little spaces that people can go and work together, kind of like you would see a bunch of people with their laptops in a coffee house, sipping lattes and punching away on their laptop and maybe talking to each other here or there. Picture an environment that actually was created to do that thing, but not the coffee shop and the expensive lattes, right? It's an actual incubator, a place for people to go to not be alone anymore. Co-working is really attractive to people that, especially designers, developers, scientists, engineers, people that work from their home, small business owners, entrepreneurs, things like that. And it just allows them a chance to, kind of be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, right?
Yeah, I can tell you personally, the reason that I immediately grabbed onto this idea and wanted to learn more is that I am an independent entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention this before, but I'm a talent strategies consultant. And so I'm now at the point that I've taken my 15 years of experience in corporate recruiting and talent acquisition, and I'm using them to do consulting and writing and help other people, whether it's companies who need help in these areas in attracting talent or individuals who need help with their job search. And so, for the last 3 years or more, I've been now working out of my house on my own. And while I do collaborate with other people, I find that if I am not careful, I will go for days working at home in my pajamas. And, it can be very isolating very quickly.
Yes.
And, I guess the word collaboration is what keeps coming back to me and what I love about this idea, because I know how much it's helped my business, connecting with people like you, through social media, the lunch that we had, the ideas just were flowing, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got some new, potentially new business opportunities to work on together. So that was, I think there are a lot of people out there that are in an independent working situation, like me, who I think would really want to grab onto this and explore it. So tell me this, I've got a couple questions. We've talked about maybe who it might appeal to. What's the cost and who pays for this?
Well, the person attending would pay for it. And kind of picture, people that would be anti-executive office working space, right? You don't need an individual office with a secretary on the same floor as you that's maybe answering the phones and things like that. You don't need that, right? But what you do need is the, humanizing your environment, so to speak, collaboration and, talking with other people, getting ideas, maybe leaning to the guy next to you and saying, hey, what does this proposal look like to you? What do you think? All those kinds of things. But somebody that is interest in co-working could just show up out of the blue, you know, at the co-working space, let's say. Prices I've seen range anywhere from $10 to $15 just to, you know, bring your laptop in, sit down at a desk or a table with other people. Really convenient for people that travel a lot. And there's, I believe, some apps out there, maybe on iPhone or, you know, Twitter and things like that, that will help you search for a co-working space near you.
Oh, now tell us about that, because that was another question that I had. I mean, we're both here in Atlanta, so my first question is, you know, if I want to go do this after I leave the studio today, where can I go? And then secondly, for people that are in other cities, how can they, you know, find out more and find out where they can go?
There are two main places. Basically, let's see. Coworking.info is a website that you can go to, and it has a listing, a directory. It's a wiki of tons and tons of places that you can go to find a co-working space that may already be operational. And you can only hope that, you know, they're open 24/7. Some of the really nice ones are open 24/7, and you can just show up anytime. And that part is great. Another website to go to is workatjelly.com, and Work at Jelly coins the whole jelly phrase, and it's the same kind of thing. It's a place that you can go to try to find a jelly or a co-working space in your area.
And so when you go there, it could be 5 people there, it could be 10, it could be 2.
It could, yeah, anything at all.
And you don't know what kind of work these individuals do, right? It's kind of an unstructured kind of environment.
You're going to mostly find the creative workers. Mm-hmm. You know, at a space like this, usually from what I've seen, you know, especially designers and developers, you know, Georgia Tech students, there is a emerging co-working company that is getting its start right now in the Midtown area. And their name is Ignition Alley. And I have had the pleasure of meeting and talking with Mike Schnickel and Tim Dorr, who are together with a little bit of help from a company here locally in Atlanta called A Small Orange. And they are starting a co-working space, from my opinion, in a very, very good way. You know, they want to make good karma, okay? They want to help people. They want to help the community before profits. You know, of course, profit's very important. They got to get that to get started. But they want to create an environment that, you know, really helps people grow an existing business or a new business straight out of that space. So.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If I were to just pack up my bag and you know, go down to Midtown to Ignition Alley and pay my $10 and walk in, what do? I just plop down at a table and say hey? Or, I mean, how do you kind of initiate?
It's like a bar.
Yeah.
Like a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Co-working etiquette, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, the etiquette for, you know, somebody like Ignition Alley would be to, you know, go onto their website and, you know, sign up, first of all. So, you know, you want to make a reservation, if you can, ahead of time to let them know so they can, you know, make sure there's adequate space available. They have memberships for, you know, different ranges of, you know, people that would say, hey, you know, I want to come every day, or I just need to come twice a week. They've got, you know, a desk membership, which, you know, actually gives you your own desk. They've got a floater membership, which says, okay, you know, do you want to just, you know, come in from time to time? And they have more details on their website. And if you sign up.
So that's just ignitionalley.com?
Yeah, ignitionalley.com. And
you wrote, I do want to mention too, that Jason's got a website and he wrote a blog post about this very subject.
Yes.
I think over the weekend, kind of to get ready for today. And one of the things that I read that you mentioned in your post was that people can actually create products that make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that right? So tell us about that, because people like to know how to make money.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably refer to IndieHall.org. It's Indie Hall is a co-working space, probably one of the most successful ones I've seen, and they're based out of Philadelphia, and they've got a very large space that's been going full-time for a very long time, and they've got a few brands out there. Some of the brand names kind of leave me, but it's on their website. One of them is called Twistery, and Twistery is an app that is pretty neat. You load it up on a Mac, and it allows you to real-time see what people are tweeting that starts out with emotional terms, like I love, or I hate, or I wish, or whatever the case may be. And it's kind of neat to watch this ticker going on your screen, kind of just scrolling, you know, from bottom to top. And you just get to see what all these people are saying.
Right, and you can pick the emotion you want to watch.
Exactly.
So
I've seen that, now that you say. I knew Twistery sounded...
There you go.
It puts you in a mood.
It does, yeah.
It's like, I'm in mood music for Twitter. That'd be good if they had background music.
There you go.
Kind of matched it.
So let me get this straight. So this was created at Indie Hall by people who... weren't necessarily working together or didn't even know each other before they
showed
up.
They just randomly met, I guess, there, right?
Right, right.
And they connected, and then they said, hey, let's work on this project.
Absolutely. Yeah, the IndieHall.org, they put a section on their site called Labs, which is another popular thing that organizations like this will do. You know, if they've got things that are emerging brands, whatever the case, they'll make a little section called Labs. And, you know, in their Labs section, they've got Twistery and about three other products that they've launched. It all came, from a co-working environment.
Now, is this something where... that, like you said, that it's mostly creative people, but are there like kind of project manager people, resources available to kind of rein it in and to give it direction?
Definitely. I don't know about project managers, but definitely resources. Like, if you've got your own business and you want to work with other people, but you need a conference room, right? So you want to bring your clients in to talk in a nice professional environment. A good co-working space is going to have, a conference room or, other amenities that you would want to, woo your clients with.
But what about access to like a lawyer or an accountant or somebody that knows some more business stuff than just kind of the creative end of this?
It's a good question. I haven't really heard about that, but the true nature of co-working is, collaborating and connecting. So I think if you are, willing to go to this type of environment and not be quiet, of course, and actually talk to people, that's going to come about very naturally. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a lot more easier than sitting at home and working in front of a computer.
Now, when it comes to kind of the infrastructure, and I did some searching over the weekend for images of co-working sites, actually, for a blog post that I wrote on the subject, but I saw a lot of different types of examples. Some had computers sitting out on the desks, some didn't. Mm-hmm. So let's say that I show up and maybe I don't have a notebook computer of my own or, a portable computer to work with. Do some of these places provide you with access or...
Not that I've seen. That's probably a very great idea for somebody wanting to start a co-working space and trying to figure out another way to monetize, maybe people want to show up and don't have a computer and we'll rent them a computer to use or, have like an internet cafe type of thing set up.
Right. I mean, I know when I started my business, I forked out $1,600, for a new laptop and not everybody can do that, I think, when they're starting out. So.
Right. That's a very good point.
And then my other question would be, okay, so let's say now so I'm assuming these places have Wi-Fi and they've got secured internet access and that kind of thing that you can log into.
Even lockers maybe, to store your stuff in and things like that, kind of like a membership club.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then so if we want to sit down and work together, there's no way for us to connect other than the web, though, from a technical perspective. I mean, there's not like a network infrastructure, so to speak, that you could tie into or...
Mike Schenkel has... a couple other groups that he is involved with. That's how him and I originally met. So he's got a group on meetup.com called Atlanta Web Entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And Atlanta Web Entrepreneurs has been going around for quite a while now. And, he uses these types of platforms in addition to, of course, online Twitter and traditional marketing methods to get the word out, So, anybody that is wanting to, maybe start their own co-working space, you want to kind of, start an interest group of some sort, right?
Okay, right.
And get people involved and then use the, power of social marketing and things like that to really get the buzz about, So.
Now, I think you told me, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said you actually started kind of a co-working at VergePoint.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. It was kind of funny because we started this, what we called the VergePoint Online Marketing Cooperative. And we started that and I wasn't familiar with what co-working was as far as the trending topic. We just kind of wanted to, get a bunch of smart people together, right, without having to pay them, And so, it was a great idea, and we had great space to do it in, but we had a couple obstacles, unfortunately, that made it not possible to go. One of those obstacles was the security of the building. To really do it right, especially with the flexible hours that, designers and developers want to work in, we couldn't really provide a good environment for them to come in anytime they please. So that was an obstacle right there. And we had to, figure out a way around that. Ignition Alley, has come right out of the gate saying, we're going to have 24/7 access. We're going to provide lockers. You come anytime you want to. And, it's kind of funny, because I've been, doing independent work and, a lot of other new things over the last few months myself. And I've kind of gotten right back into the role of, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is my prime time to
get
true
work
done.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, which is exactly why I asked. And I'm kind of in the same boat. It was very difficult for me to wake up early this morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't used to think this was early, but now that I work till 3 o'clock in the morning, it's early.
It's early. It's all relative.
But I also find, and what we talked about yesterday, that a lot of people, especially who are active on Twitter, Twitter really wakes up and comes alive like midnight to 2 o'clock because a lot of people are doing what we're doing at that
during the day,
is working.
Right. And then that's their time.
Yeah. And so that was definitely an important point I wanted you to bring up. And my, and of course, being a woman, you know, my, one of my main concerns would be security. So that's another thing to think about.
Is it staffed? So there's somebody there that's like kind of the manager of the place just to make sure.
Yeah. There needs to be a coordinator, somebody that's making sure that, you know, everybody's needs are attended to and, you know, there's coffee in the machine
that's the most important, and the
Wi-Fi is working yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's really exciting. And, you know, it's still considered a very new thing. A lot of people don't know about it, but it's really been taking, you know, a lot of growth worldwide, you know.
Now, let me ask you this. For someone, you talked a lot about kind of IT professionals and as well as creative people. Now, for someone like me, who I would consider myself more of a business professional, would this potentially have opportunities for, you know, someone in the business world as well?
Well, especially if you're looking for talent. You know, if you want to get to know some, you know, some really, you know, hotshot designers, developers, or, you know, whatever your business needs are, you can kind of go onto these websites that, you know, the co-working spaces run and maintain and kind of look at, see what the work's been, what work has been coming out of them.
Okay.
If you go to indiehall.org, you know, you can see what kind of work has been coming about. And if you're running the co-working space in a good way, what I would suggest is have weekly meetings, you know, so you bring everybody together and say, okay, what's everybody working on?
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, somebody could be working on something that is, you know, right in lines with what you're doing. And, you know, it's kind of like co-working is almost like an extension to social networking, right? You know, first you sit around your house maybe and you social network and you get to meet people and you find new things. But then it's time to take it to the next level. It's kind of what my blog post is about. It's like, okay, you've done the social media thing. You think you're hot stuff and, you know, you can really, you know, get a lot of people's attention. But now it's time to really get in front of, you know, other people and talk.
Stop bragging about how many followers you have and get out and go meet some people.
Exactly.
Face to face at some point always is a good idea.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the winner.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yep.
So you've got a lot going on. Tell us, we've talked a little bit about VergePoint. Tell us kind of some of the other things that you're working on right now.
You know, it's just a lot of stuff, really. You know, I'm working on, helping individuals and businesses be able to, you know, get a start online. Right. You know, it's a lot to swallow to, you know, a business to try to get a start, especially with an e-commerce site. There's so much to do, and it's all new still for so many companies and individuals I talk to. You know, I'll help an individual, let's say, you know, get their name out there, you know, better. You know, this is something that you and I are working on too. You know, I'll help that individual's organization or company try to get, you know, more recognition online and, you know, help manage their reputation, help get better search engine rankings, help get better conversion on their website. And these are all things that VergePoint, you know, handles as well. But it's just a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. Anything from designing a logo to, you know, helping somebody get a blog going, you know.
Yeah, and in the spirit of full disclosure, Jason is helping me and my partner in crime. She hates when I say that, but it's actually a compliment. Miriam Salpeter of Kepi Careers and I are putting on a series of job search interventions called You Need a Job. And we've got a website, youneedajob.org, which is just about to launch. And Jason has been kind enough to design the logo for us. And now I'm very excited because he's presented me with four and I've got to make a choice. Uh-oh. And it's tough. So he did a great job.
Now, Jason, what are some of the common mistakes people make when they're trying to attack the web?
Ooh, you know, probably the thing I see most often is, you know, people get really spammy, you know, and spam meaning, you know, over the top black hat search marketing tactics, you know, things like that. You can really, you know, damage your reputation more than you can help it if you don't do it correctly. You know, I mean, I love Twitter, but unfortunately Twitter has become a space where you just put, you know, anything out there and you're going to get all these crazy followers from, you know, anywhere. And it's really just, it's annoying, you know, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to establish relationships. You want to stick to what you know, you know. So
so they try to kind of fast forward the sales process. They want to get right to the sale and the money instead of like building
the relationship. Yeah, give the pitch, you know, right off the bat.
Just
you
lead
know
with the pitch.
Yeah, you want to become somebody's friend first and then do business later, you know. Another term I like to say in social marketing is that you have to earn the right to be self-serving. You know, you have to be a real person and you have to, you know, be brave enough and disciplined enough to, you know, share some personal things maybe about what you're doing, just to kind of let people know that, you know, hey, I'm a real person just like you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got a product to sell. You know, everybody likes to, everybody still likes to buy things, even in this horrible economy sometimes, but nobody wants to be sold to. you know. So,
so what advice when someone's just getting started? They don't have a blog. They are not on Twitter. You know, this is all brand new to them, and they want to kind of take their business in this direction as another avenue for marketing. How do you recommend that somebody get started?
A great way to get started would be, you know, starting to maybe hit some PPC test marketing. This is something that VergePoint and PPC test marketing. Here's the deal. Everybody's heard of Google, right? Google has AdWords. AdWords is how you get your rankings to the top three positions on the search results or on the side, the right-hand side. It's actually fairly inexpensive to get your listings out there within, you know, 10 minutes of signing up. Okay. And still not having to pay a lot if you're, unless you're trying to get number one, of course. But here's what it gives you. If you put PPC marketing out there, you put some
PPC
keywords.
PPC stands for pay-per-click?
Pay-per-click. Okay. That's correct. If you get your ad out there, you're able to immediately see how people are reacting to your ads and the keywords that you put out there. You're immediately able to see negative keywords, which is something that, you know, you don't want. You know, if you're trying to put a keyword out there for, let's say you're trying to sell a lampshade, okay? You know, you might get people that are looking for headlamps for a car, okay? So you don't want to, you know, have people putting automobile lamp, okay, in the search result. You want people saying lampshade. So you know, if you don't do your marketing correctly, you're going to get a lot of expense from people actually clicking on links that are nothing to do with your ad. So what that gives you is a lot of education as far as to what people are clicking on how many times, so that you can actually get your keywords out there correctly to the audience that you're trying to target. And you also learn about your audience too.
And if someone has absolutely no idea how to go about this,
yes,
you know, how do they get started? I mean, is there someone they can call to help them?
You want to get with somebody that can put a strategy together. And that's what I do. I put strategies together for people from stem to stern on how to get started from the beginning to the end. You know, we'll write out an analysis document, sometimes from 15 to 20 pages, of all the opportunities, all the low hanging fruit that you or your company has, and you know how to, you know, kind of start off at the toes and just, you know, kind of work your way through, you know, all the opportunities that you have. You know, sometimes you know, affiliate marketing, let's say, just, you know, some type of a marketing method. Sometimes affiliate marketing may not be right for your business. So, you know, that's not something that you should even pursue. But maybe search engine optimization and social media is perfect. You
know? Now, is this something that is super expensive, or it's one of these, it works in all budgets kind of thing? Or what do you think is the minimum entry point?
You know, if you want to get started on PPC, we usually ask people to, you know, at least invest, you know, $500 to get out there for about 30 days on Google and be able to see how well your ads will perform, your product, what conversion rates are. Conversion means that, you know, whatever success metric you're, you know, if it's a sale of a product, if it's somebody signing up on the form, that's a conversion. So, you know, you're able to immediately bring traffic to your site by using Google AdWords and see how it performs and what doesn't perform, what doesn't work. You know, when you send traffic from Google to your site, you're sending it to a landing page. So that landing page could be a good landing page, it could be a bad landing page. We try to make sure that they're good landing pages, because you're going to actually spend a lot less in advertising when you're advertising with Google. Google wants a website that loads fast. They want a landing page that is very relevant to the ad that you're advertising for, and they want your ad to be very relevant to the search term that you're marketing for. So if you have all of those things together well, which takes some time to get it right, you have what's called a quality score that Google keeps track of. What people don't realize is Google is actually in the auction business, okay? This is why they've become so successful. They've figured out how to automate using an algorithm so that the big guys aren't the only guys that are on top, right? You know, HP or, you know, Home Depot or whoever has a big purse, a big budget that they can roll over all the little guys very easily by keeping themselves number one. That is very hard to keep that playing field leveled. And it also makes you have to have a big staff that keeps things going, taking the big clients out to golf and, you know, big restaurant dinners and things like that. Instead, they made an actual algorithm that says, okay, look, your rank is determined on the next highest guy's bid times quality score. And a quality score can be from 1 to 10.
Wow.
So
it's complicated.
It is. It is complicated.
That's why it's better to hire someone.
That's right.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. It sounds like that to me too.
Yep.
Well, Jason, so where can people find you and where can they get in touch with you?
Well, you know, I have a website that's my own name. It's jasonprance.com. And, you know, I haven't been blogging very much, but I've been putting a few posts out there and it's just got some information about me. People should definitely check out VergePoint. It's very interesting. You know, we kind of done the numbers over the last 10 years and we've managed to be involved with over $500 million in revenue online over the last 10 years. So that's definitely something to hang our hat on. So, you know, I definitely feel comfortable. We've been doing this for ourselves for so long.
Right.
I definitely feel comfortable doing it for other people.
You're ready to take that plunge?
We're ready to do it. Yes.
Well, so before we go and wrap up, I want to, in true Stone Peyton tradition, the show has a history of asking guests, tell us about a mistake that you've made at some point in your career. And, you know, what you've learned from that you can share with the listeners.
I was thinking about that. You know, it's, I don't know if it's, it's always been my habit to not have any regrets and not look back too much. And it's not like I haven't made plenty of mistakes, but, you know, I don't know if it's a superpower or if it's Alzheimer's setting in way too early, but I just always seem to forget about all the bad stuff. But I did think of one thing. Basically, I've always had the habit of being the dead hero in a corporate organization, meaning the guy that just plunges in first all the time, says, I could do it, no problem. That, you know, that's me. And, you know, trying really hard, being successful sometimes, and, you know, maybe falling flat on my face other times. And, you know, usually I always find myself in this situation where I'm behind a closed door, you know, stressing out, trying to figure out how I can do all of this, you know, all on my own. When, you know, over the last few years, I never really learned how to properly use a wonderful team beneath me that can actually really help me do that. And instead of being closed-minded, closed-doored, you know, there was a time about a year and a half ago that I got my team together, which was about six people at the time, and closed the conference room door. And I said, okay, it's time to do a brain dump of Jason Prance. You know, I need to get all these things out of my head. I'm going to put it all on the whiteboard, and here's all the things that we need to take care of. I should have done it a long time ago, and that was a mistake. And because as soon as I did that, things really started clicking along for the team.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I stopped holding it all in and trying to do it all myself and, you know, taking care of everybody. And, oh, it's okay. It's
amazing,
like, you know
what happens when you empower those around you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, Jason. It's been fun. And thanks so much, Lee, for allowing us
you.
To crash
Great
your
job.
Studio.
Great job.
Thank you.
This we'll
co-working,
see you next
this co-working
week.
Environment we have.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we will see you next week. And are you going to be with us?
I will be here again.
Do we know the guests?
We do. We've got Miriam Salpeter from Kepi Careers and Jenny Devon, an executive search consultant and social media enthusiast with Talent Connections.
All right, till next week.
See you then.
Thank you.